everyone, to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It is my goal that through this episode, not only you can see that the Bible is accessible to you, applicable to your life, but also attainable to live through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you enjoy this episode today as we are diving deep into the Word of God. And I pray that not only you're hearing this episode, but you also open up your heart so you can live by the truth and the Word of God, and your life can be changed the same way mine was.
Welcome back, guys. Today I have a returning guest here, Donovan. Donovan, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm surprised you had me back on. I figured you'd be tired of hearing me talk by now.
Not even possible.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Anything interesting been happening over in Donovan land?
Not a whole lot. I mean, just a lot of sickness going around. Mm. Ever since Christmas, really, the kids, you know, once you have multiple kids, they just pass it around.
Yeah.
And so we thought everybody was good. And then Saturday, my son had a basketball game, and then we got home, and he's saying his stomach feels sick, mm-hmm. and we're like, nah, you know, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. So he's sitting there with me, and we're just kind of cuddling, and then he's like, I kind of look on his face, and he's looking a little pale, and I'm like, you all right, dude? And then he's just like, yeah, just throws up everywhere, all over me, all over him. And so it's like, do you feel better now? He's like, yeah, I feel better. I'm like, all right, good, we're going to church tomorrow.
I'm glad you feel better, because I don't. I'm like, have it all over me.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it's always something with kids, but
I don't know. I can't, I have dealt with so many animal, you know, things.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. Human throw up stuff, like, it grosses me out, man. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have to get used to it before too long.
Yeah. Especially with babies. 'Cause it seems like that's 80% of what they do is just throwing up all the time. The other 20% is eating and pooping. So it's
it's fun. Sleeping's in there a little bit, but you know,
sometimes, every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I have, we're on, I think, part 14, if that's right. So what we're going to do is, this is a little bit experimental. We're going to read through Psalm 119, 8 verses right here. Yeah. And we're just going to kind of talk about what God showed us as we read through it and all sorts of stuff. I like your hat, by the way. It's pretty sick.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. Shout out to Golden Republic, my man, Hector. He can make, I've never seen, cause I searched for different hats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Places where that, you know, you can design a hat, and a lot of places they won't let you do just one. Oh. That's one thing that's cool about him. If you send him any logo, he can make you just one hat.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Yeah. So if you ever wanting to get a hat or anything like that, definitely to look him up.
Well, I'll make a note of that. I like it. I'm going to have to pick one up, but
he's awesome.
Anyway, so but before we get into this, I have a question for you. I have had a really random thing stuck in my head all day. Okay, and that is, we are farmers. Bump it up, bump, bump, bump. Whatever reason, that's just the thing that's the thing that's happening. So I just what's one like jingle that just annoyingly gets stuck in your head? It's obnoxious.
Oh gosh. A jingle that would get stuck in my head. Man, that's a good, you got me stumped. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot of time to watch a lot of TV now. So I guess it would just kind of be more along the lines of like a kid's TV show, like a Bluey theme song or something like that. Is that cheating? Yeah. My kids love that. And they're only like 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
So they'll watch a bunch of them pretty quickly. It doesn't take them long, but
that's nice. 'Cause then if they say, hey, I want to watch an episode, like you let them watch an episode of Bluey before they go to bed, 7 minutes later, they're in bed. So that does work out.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll watch one episode of Bluey. To them, it's half an hour, but it's really only 7 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah. No,
I guess that's what I would say. If that's cheating, I don't know.
No, I think that's perfectly fine. There's some random things, dude, that get stuck in my head. That, and I don't know how many of these I actually even listen to anymore, because TV is kind of obsolete. You watch streaming, you know, you listen to stuff, you don't watch previews anymore. So.
No. Well, we don't even have cable.
No, we don't either.
All we have is streaming. We have Netflix, we have Hulu. Mm-hmm. We have Disney Plus, and then I think my wife has something else, but that's all we got.
Why do you need it at this point, you know? I can't believe that. And you pay, like, what, $40, like, a lot for it. But,
yeah. I guess. I don't know. We haven't done it in years.
I remember it was a lot when we used to do it.
Yeah. But,
man, just random things like the McDonald's. I can't drive past the McDonald's without hearing ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, that's why they do it. That's why they do it, because they know they'll get you.
Yep. And I'm like, I feel like I could love it right now. So I pull into McDonald's. Our local McDonald's is not good, and you won't love it, but it'll fool you.
That's how ours is too. Actually, ours right down the street right now, they're doing like construction.
Yeah.
So you can't go inside and get it, but you can go through the drive-thru. And I think that's weird that they're standing out there. You hear the saws and you see the, you know, like wood shaving stuff flying everywhere. It's like, yeah, let's go in here and get a Big Mac, you know?
Nah. I mean, probably a majority of it is sawdust anyway, but man,
you don't need to know that. Right. My buddy Antoine, I know you were on his show the other day. I was talking to him the other day because we were trying to figure out, me and my wife were trying to figure out what we were going to eat. And he was like, oh, we got seafood, blah, blah, blah. He was talking about what they had got. And my son said, let's get McDonald's. And Antoine said, I haven't had McDonald's in probably like 10 years. I was like, what?
How is that even possible?
That's what I said.
He lives in America.
Okay, all right, big money. Yeah. Well, he's too good for McDonald's. He's got to have five-star cuisine.
Like Subway or Taco Bell.
No, talk about sawdust.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. It's guilty pleasure sawdust, but it's sawdust nonetheless. I eat Taco Bell every day, man. But
my wife, whenever we had one of our kids, I can't remember which one it was, she got, like, her big craving was the grilled cheese burrito. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah, she went through some grilled cheese burritos when she was going through that pregnancy.
My mom's thing when she was pregnant with me, sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this, but I'm throwing you under the bus. She loved croissant sandwiches from Burger King, like the
Burger
morning.
King?
Yeah. Dude, she loved them. Huh. I don't like them that much. I think they're kind of meh.
I've never had one.
But she loved them.
I've never had one.
And she ate like seven of them at one time. Like she just, she loved those things. But
that's funny. It's funny what the body for a woman craves, you know, during that time.
Sure. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. But as you said, I was actually, it's funny that I'm talking to you this week because a week ago from tomorrow, I was talking to Antoine, who, great guy, guys. I've never actually talked to him before, but I'll put his link down along with Donovan's. They actually do a show together. Do you want to talk about that? Thumbs Up Thunder real quick before we get started?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got me and Antoine, we connected last year. That's one thing that has been so cool. If nothing else, the Lord has surrounded me with a bunch of good people like yourself, like Antoine, like Dave. There's been so many people that the Lord has been able to like get me connected with. And at that, kind of rewind a little bit, like whenever I started the podcast, I was telling my wife, actually, like I didn't have a whole lot of Christian men around me in my life. Like I had some Christian guys around me, but they were all older than me. And like any of my friends from like high school or guys that I would hang out with, they weren't really like rocking with God. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like we weren't on the same path. And so like I was just praying, like asking the Lord to kind of surround me with at least a couple guys. And then like literally like a month later, I met Antoine. And so it was just such a cool thing. And I've been able to connect with some other guys too. But the first time that we met, I just felt like the Lord, there was going to be something for me and him to do together. And just in that, there was one day we were talking and I told him, I said, I really feel strongly like the Lord is like calling us to do something together. And I was just kind of joking with him after the first time that I was on his podcast. I said, maybe one day we'll have a show called Twan and Don. You know, just kind of joking around with him. He was like, well, you never know. You never know. And then months later, like the Lord just put on my heart, like, you guys need to do something together and y'all need to do something together, like with the Chosen. Mm-hmm. And so I sent him a text message about it. He's like, yeah, man, let's do it. So we started a show called Sons of Thunder. And it's basically we just go through every single episode of The Chosen, just kind of breaking down each episode, giving our perspective on it, trying to be an encouragement, you know, point. I know they're trying to reach a billion people with the gospel. And we're just trying to, you know, do our part to reach as many people as we can with the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Great guy. I bet you two have great chemistry together. So I haven't been able to check it out yet, but I'm going to have to check it out. So you guys check it out along with me. All right. So yeah, well, we're going to get started here, and I guess we'll just start in verse 97 and, I'll read it here. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So off the top, I'll just let you start off. What speaks to you in that passage? What do you take away from it?
For me, just that one thing that the Lord has been revealing to me, especially lately, is just that relational aspect. so many people look at like going to church and the whole Jesus thing as like this religion, and it's like so strict, and it's, I got to follow a bunch of rules. But right off the bat, how he says like, I love your law. Like if you look earlier in the chapter, it's, I think it's verse number 9. It talks about how can a young man keep his ways pure by guarding it according to your word. So it's just like, that's talking about reading the Bible, right? Like keeping his word at the forefront of your mind. So the first thing that I think whenever I read this, like how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Like he's chewing on it. Like he's thinking about it. Like he's trying to, seems to me like he's trying to line his mindset and his ways according to the Lord. And that's goes back to like that relational aspect. Like for me, it's funny, cause I was actually talking to my pastor about it at church yesterday, how like when you're in a relationship with someone, like with me, with my wife, like just say before me and her got together, I was a big smoker. And then when we got together, then she's like, you know what? I really don't like you smoking. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to change that because you know, I love you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to try to align, you know, what I do with, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to offend you. And so like, that's the first thing that I see, like when you're in that relationship with Jesus and when you're like seeking first the kingdom and really striving after that, you're going to try to align your mindset with his mindset because you don't want to offend him. Like you love him, you want to please him. So you're going to want to do the things that he is trying to say, like, this is going to better your life, you know?
No, that's powerful. I love walking through the scripture with people, because that's something that I didn't actually pick up on. And I love that, because if you love someone, like you said, you're not going to want to offend them. You're going to try to do what they ask of you, and especially to God, who has given his everything. It's our reasonable service, our reasonable sacrifice to do that for him. So
yeah,
one of the things that I got out of it is I think Americans, especially, I don't know about other countries, but I think Americans have lost the intimacy of the word love. We use that word, you know, to talk about food. We use it to you know, we talk about, oh, well, I loved this episode of the show the other day, when really, you know, what does the word love actually mean? We only have one word for love in the American language, in the English, and the word love is so intimate. You know, that's why we don't want to throw it around all the time about random little things, because here it says, oh, how I love thy law. It's like he says, and this is the first time that he says love in this chapter. It's the first time. And we're 97 verses in. Henceforth, we already knew how much he loved God's law because he did it through his actions. He did it. He showed it through his actions first. And then he said, I love it, because we can see that through what he has acted out. It says earlier in verse 71, for it's good to me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Like, he sees everything good that comes out of the Bible. And then he says, I do love it. So it's just like, we throw that word around too much, I think. I think we need to get back to realize, like you said, that word love, it's an intimate thing. Like you with your wife, it's an intimate thing. And when you say you love her, it's not just out of habit. It's because you actually do, and you want to give yourself to her and serve her. So that's just something I was thinking of. And then, like you said, the meditation all the day, he's meditating on it. And in Psalm 1, it talks about how if you do that, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Right. You'll be solid.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be moved, because you have everything you need right there. You're planted right by it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it too, like the Bible, people, and if you look, you talk about like how we've kind of watered down that word love. We've watered down so many things in the Bible. Cause if you look at even just, and that's one thing that I've noticed the more and more that I dig into the word, is like little cliche sayings that the world says, as just like throwaway sayings, like try your best or think. These are all like biblical principles.
Oh, yeah.
But we've drawn them out of the word, and then we've kind of watered them down. And then people want to say like, I don't believe in the Bible, or I'm not following the Bible, but you're literally saying like Proverbs from the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just understanding too, that how he says, I love your law, because he knows that if I'm following your law, like this is not just a rule book. Like this is like an instruction manual of like, if you live your life, this is the happiest that you're going to be. This is the most satisfied you're going to be, because the Creator is saying like, this is how I have designed for you to live your life. And if you follow it, it's going to be the best for you, you know?
Yeah. And like we oftentimes we don't realize that God is not a cosmic killjoy. He's not just up there trying to be, like you said, he's not just up there being like, you can do this, you can't do this, and there's no reason behind it just because I like control, this is the way I want it. No, right. He's doing it for us, and we'll see that in a little bit, but he's doing it for us. So if somebody loves us that much, it's easy to love him back. But the problem is we don't understand how much God loves us. It's hard to not love someone who actually loves you. It's hard to. So if we're not in God's word, if we're not trying to meditate on it, then we're not going to understand how much he loves us. And because of that, we're not going to love him the way that we should. So
exactly. Yeah.
Is there any closing thoughts on that verse, or are you ready to move on?
No. Yeah. I think that's good. I think that's good.
I would agree. So let's read verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are always with me. Okay, immediate thoughts. What do you think?
First thing I think of is just the what's the verse? I'll hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Like when you have Jesus's word, like when you have the Bible in your heart and it's something that's solid, you can pluck it out when you need to, you know what I'm saying? Different circumstances. And when it talks here about like your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. So it's like almost, and I can't remember the passage off the top of my head, but it talks about how, we are not ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. So it's like, I think it's almost like a self-aware factor too. So it's like when you know yourself, when you know your weak points, you're able to prepare for those things. So when an enemy comes after you, you already have the upper hand on him because you're like, okay, I already know what you're going to try to attack here. So like when it says like, your word makes me wiser than my enemies. Like I know what my enemies are going to try to attack. Therefore I can be prepared when they try to attack. I'm like, okay, I already knew what you were trying to do there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's one thing that the Lord's really been revealing to me is just like being self-aware, being intentional in every aspect of my life. Because if I'm self-aware and I know my weak points, when the devil tries to come and tries to tempt me with something, I'm like, I already knew.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you're going to have to try something else because I already knew what you were going to try to come after. And so like the more you get into the word and the more you realize these things and the more that you, like it says here, meditate on his word, like it just makes you so much wiser and it just helps you so much, you know, in the long run, because the battle's not against flesh and blood, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you said that, it reminded me of Paul when he got bit by the fiery serpent and he shook it off, threw it in the fire, because it didn't faze him, because he knew the enemy's tactical advantage. So it's one thing that I noticed is exactly what you said. And it's actually, I like listening to my show sometimes just to see how I'm, you know, progressively trying to get better. And the one with me and you came on that we did a couple of months ago, and we were talking about D.L. Moody and how when we're intentional, things like that, the guy that led D.L. Moody was just in a store, just a guy in a shoe store. When we're intentional, we can see that, okay, this is what God wants us to do here. But if we're not intentional and we're not wise, then the enemy has the advantage. But when we read God's word, because through God's word, he makes us wiser than our enemies. But there's something else here, is that his enemies are always with him. It says, for they are ever with me. So like you said, the enemy's out there. The enemy is trying to get a hold of our lives. It's trying to take us over. And they are always with us. Even when we're having victory, they're always with us. God.
So, well, whenever I read that, it struck me as like his commandments are always with me.
Oh, maybe. Well,
for your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. It could be what you're saying too. I mean, technically it's both. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have God's word in your heart, it's always with you. But the attacks of the enemy is always, it's always coming. You know?
No, that's interesting. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I've never read it that way. So that is true too. I love that. God's commandments is with us always. So even though the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, we always do have the upper hand. That's true.
Yeah. And I think too, a lot of times people think like, if I want to try to do a work for God, like you talk about the guy in the shoe store where he just like presented the gospel to D.L. Moody. I think a lot of times we think like, telling somebody about God is like, I got to go be a missionary somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's not that. It's like just doing something small. I talked to a pastor a couple weeks ago on my podcast, and he was talking about how he was going through a lot of trauma and stuff growing up. And it got to the point where the Lord, he was like asking the Lord to help him in certain areas. And the Lord was like, okay, let's move this pebble first. Mm-hmm. Right. And then after he moved the pebble for a while and his faith is growing in the Lord, he's seeing that I'm able to move this pebble through the strength that you're giving me, Lord. Then it moved to a rock. God's like, all right, now let's move this rock. So it's not the mountain right away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the pebble first, and then it's the rock, and then it's the stone, and then it's the boulder, and your faith is being progressively built all along the way. And then when it gets to that mountain, you're like, okay, I've seen, I can turn around and look at the progress that I've made. Look how far that I've come through the strength that you have given me, Lord. Yeah, the enemy has been trying to come at me, but I've been building strength with you throughout this, you know, throughout this whole journey. All right, now let's take on this mountain together. Yep. You know, so it's just, it's not 0 to 100. You know, some people think, well, it's taking too long. Well, it's like everything happens when it's supposed to, like it says in Habakkuk 2:2, like the vision waits its appointed time. So it's like, it's going to happen when it's supposed to, but just leaning on him to try to move that pebble or move that stone. Yeah. Like right now, not worrying about the future.
Yeah. And God says he's not going to let us be tempted more than we can handle. He knows what we can handle. Mm-hmm. And he knows that when we're with him, he's going mm-hmm. to let some temptation come through. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be oppressed, but not more than we can handle. So yeah, because he knows us.
And in that verse, it says, but with that, with the temptation, he will always be with you. And he'll always, make a way of escape.
Yeah. And if we, if we weren't doing this, I would have never actually thought of thy commandments are always with me. So that's interesting. I like that. So
yeah.
Well, we'll read down in verse 99 now. I have mm-hmm. more understanding than all my teachers. Okay, I want to stop there. And a lot of times when we think that I'm kind of struggling to see how we want to place this. If somebody says that now, it would seem like it's a point of pride. What heart do you think that he had when he said this?
I have more understanding than all my teachers. Probably speaking from a place of like he's seeing that the people that are around him teaching are maybe like Pharisee types.
Yeah.
And seeing that like, okay, I really am focusing. And like he said earlier in verse 97, like I'm meditating on your law all day while they are making the law mm-hmm. God, you know, like they're changing it to where, okay, we're worshiping the law basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's like, okay, I understand that the law is given to us by the Lord, but it's not the Lord, you know? So that's what it speaks to me right off the bat, just because there is, and I think too, a lot of times, and that's one thing that I love about what you and Charlie Banks does, and any young people that are actually like trying to step out and do podcasts and doing social media and stuff like that. Cause a lot of times, like that kind of gets downplayed, like people downplay the youth, mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But then it's like, I think that's kind of what he's speaking to here, because he might see people that are older than him and they're like trying to downplay what he might know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like Paul tells Timothy, like, don't let people like give you a hard, I don't remember the, I'm right. paraphrasing, but he says like, don't let people give you a hard time about your age.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you're completely right. Cause we have to remember he says that the people above him are out, like they're not actually studying the word of God like they should. Like you said, they're teaching the law. So I don't think this was a place of pride. We shouldn't be thinking, oh, well, I know better than you all the time, because we don't know better than everyone. But it's a self-evaluation. We need to see where we are, and then we need to self-evaluate the people that we're looking up to. Or not self-evaluate, you know, evaluate mm-hmm. their fruits. And see, okay, should I be following this person? And I think that, you know, this psalmist, he looked at himself and he looked at his teachers and said, okay, you know, he's going to respect them and he's going to, you know, give them the respect that they deserve. But if they're going to stray away from the word, I think that he says, okay, I see that they're not going in the right way. And I think he has enough wisdom because it talks about how he's meditating, that he's going to be able to, let me see how it, discern between the right teachings of them and the wrong teachings.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah. Yeah.
Because when I read it the first time, when you hear somebody say, "Well, I know better than my teachers," it sounds like an arrogant, "Oh, well, you know, I'm better." But no, I just think that it's somebody who's seriously evaluating who he's following and evaluating himself. Oftentimes, and I know that you probably feel the same way, I don't like talking about the things that God's done in my life because it almost feels like I'm being prideful because that's the way that our minds work. When really, I think we need to be honest with what God has done in our life and what God has used through us and done through us, realizing that we're just the tools. We're not the handyman that uses them. And it's not a bad thing to notice that, you know, okay, God has given me wisdom. God has given me this gift.
Yeah.
I think that's a good self-evaluation thing to do, but it's when it gets into that prideful state that it's wrong. So,
yeah. Well, I think the devil too tries to use that, the whole, like, you don't want to be doing this because you don't want to seem cocky or arrogant or whatever. The devil can use that in your mind too, because there's, if you look in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 10 or 12, somewhere in there, somewhere between 8 and 12, God tells Abram at that time, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And then he says, "I'm going to make your name great." So it's like, okay, so God is literally telling him, "I'm going to make," but then you read the next couple words after that is like, it's, I think it says something along the lines of, "I'm going to make your name great to be a blessing." Mm. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to make your name great. And I think that's where a lot of times we get it twisted as Christians is it's like, okay, I can't say that what I'm doing is good. Or like, I can't say what I'm doing is great, but like, God doesn't have a problem with greatness. You know, I've said it before on my podcast, like he doesn't have a problem with greatness as long as we understand that it's under his dominion and reign. And like, we are pointing it back to him and saying like, this has nothing to do with me. Like, I'm just a vessel. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, not letting it, like you said, get to that prideful state, but like understanding that we can strive after greatness.
Yeah. And how many times has God told them, okay, go tell the things which you've seen, you know, go spread the good news, say everything that God has done in your life. Like he says it all the time.
Yeah.
We oftentimes just think, well, if I go tell somebody about it, we're prideful. And maybe it will make you prideful. Then you need to work on your heart, you know?
Yeah. The way you
exactly. Then work on the ways that's a heart problem. That's not what God has done. So, you know, that's not his deal.
And I think too, like if his teachers were of that Pharisee mindset too, he's kind of understanding, like, you know, it's different when you really do have a legitimate relationship with Jesus. Like when you understand like the power and you understand, like when you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, the almost like the things that he unlocks, the more that you read and the more that you get into the word and the more you're seeking after him. And like, you can kind of, at least for me, and I don't want this, you know, going back to that bragging, like, I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging here, but like, there's been times where I've been in like churches and stuff. And like, I know with my relationship with Christ, and then I hear somebody else speak and I'm like, where's this even coming from? You know what I mean? And so that might be kind of like where he's coming from a little bit too, where he's like, what are we even talking about right now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's right. So just an interesting thought, because like I said, it jumped out at me, like, because the way that you hear it nowadays, it's somebody being prideful when obviously he wasn't being prideful. He was just being honest. The next part of the verse is, "For thy testimonies are my meditation." So let's read that, you know, all together, so it makes more sense. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." So right there, it shows, okay, he's being honest with himself. He's like, okay, I do have this gift of wisdom, but only because your testimonies are my meditation. Not because I'm anything great, but because he is everything great.
Yeah. And he's thinking about too, like testimonies, like maybe his testimonies in his own life of what the things that the Lord has done for him. And he's like, I'm just thinking over these things that you've done for me in my life, Lord. And I'm just, you know, thankful and pointing them back to you and understanding that that's the only reason why I have wisdom and understanding in this moment is just because of what you have done through me in my life.
And I'm going to kind of go on a little rabbit trail real fast. I don't know about you, but I've just recently been starting to keep a notebook. Like, and when God has done something amazing in my life that day, I'll write it down. So then, you know, there's days where I wake up and I'm like, okay, I don't have any drive. Like I sometimes you're just like that. Sometimes you're down. I can look at the things that I've written down and be like, okay, this is God showing himself to me. This is God when he did this, da 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 da. And when you see that in front of you, it's easy to meditate on his testimonies, to meditate on his word all the day, because you see how it's helped you in your own life, because we're forgetful, we're humans. So anybody that's listening, that is, like, I have little, it's over there, so I'm not going to get it, but they're like a dollar for like a pack of four, they're little notebooks. Get one, write it down, put it in your pocket, you know, just, that'll help you get in that mindset to meditate on him all day, so.
Yeah, especially, that's one thing that I started too, and full disclosure, like, I used to make fun of people that journal and stuff like that. I was like, oh, you get keep a diary,
like,
you
know, grandma,
that type of thing. Yeah, but then I started doing it, and I did it last year, actually Christmas 2022. I told my wife right before that, I was like, I feel like I need to start journaling. And so I said, get me a journal for Christmas, you know, and I wrote in it every day. And I actually went back not that long ago, because there's times where, especially when you're trying to point people to Christ, that the enemy puts that in your head, like, you're not making any impact, like, you're wasting your time. And then just going back and seeing the progression over the year and seeing, like, the ways, like you said, like, the moments that God has done, has proven to me, like, this is the path that I want you to take, and understanding that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if he called me to do something yesterday, why would it change today?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just like you said, just those reminders of, like, okay, I see what he did. And then two, one thing that I've learned throughout this year, because I was on somebody's podcast not that long ago, and I always say, like I feel a lot of times like, and I'm not comparing myself to these people, but I feel like Peter and John, when they're in the synagogue in Acts 4:13, where they were speaking with boldness because they had been with Jesus, and the people could tell just by the way they spoke that they were common and educated men. Well, I didn't go to school or anything like that. Like, I'm not a, you know, a pastor, or a youth leader. I'm not anything like that. I'm just like a devout follower of Jesus. Like, everything that I'm trying to do unto him. And through that, I was on this guy's podcast and I told him that. And after we got done recording, he was like, you sure seem like you know a lot of scripture for somebody that didn't go to like seminary or anything like that. And I'm like, dude, the one thing that I've learned throughout having my podcast and throughout trying to get a deeper relationship with Jesus is like how little I do know. Like, I literally know nothing, you know? And it's like, I read the scripture, even if it's scripture that I've read before. I'm like, oh, wow, that jumped out to me in a different way. You know, I guess that's what it means when they say, like, the Bible is living and it's breathing and it's alive, because it's like you can go back to the same verse every single day for like 2 weeks and you can pull something out
different
of it
every time.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
No, I love that. You know, and there's people that literally devote their lives to just studying the Word of God, and they still would say, yeah, I haven't even scratched the surface. So we need to not ever get into a mindset where we think, oh, well, we know everything. And, you know, there's times where it's easy to get into that mindset. Like, why am I getting up and reading Matthew for the fourth time? Like, why am I doing that? But then when you start reading it, then you'll understand, okay, I don't know everything because I forget. And even if I remembered everything, then it's still, we're talking about Almighty God, his words to us. We're not going to be able to understand it all. Yeah.
Yeah. And even to take it a step further, like I, in my, I journal every night now, and I always, whenever I read the word, I always write down different things that stick out to me in that chapter, right? Or in the however many verses I read that night. And there's been times where I'll like go back and read what I wrote 6 months ago about this chapter, and I'll go back and read it again. I'm like, what, how did I get this out of it? I'm getting something completely different out of it right now. So yeah, it's a cool little
reminder. We were talking, I talked about how I like going back and listening to episodes that I did before. It's because I don't remember everything. There was a time like, oh wait, I had victory over that. I forgot that I even struggled with it. So it's, if we can have it, you know, whether it's on here, I do both. It's on here. It's jotted down in a notebook. I can go back and read it, and then it's easy for me to wake up in the morning, read it, read the Bible, read what God has, you know, brought me through, and be like, okay, I can handle this day, because I know he's got my back, because he always has had my back.
Yeah, and that's what the enemy wants us to do, too, is forget. Like, if you look at the feeding of the 5,000, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? You look at the very next chapter, feeding of the 4,000, the disciples were like, where are we going to get food to feed all these people? And it's like, literally a chapter ago, he just fed 5,000. We got less people here, and you guys are
questioning. And I'm pretty sure they had more food, too. Less people and more food.
Yeah. So it's just, it's so easy to forget, and the enemy wants you to forget those moments where Christ was there for you. So then that way, you know, he can kind of get you distracted and make you feel like all hope is lost in whatever you're going through
yeah.
at that time.
And if you mark down stuff, you know, we've been talking about it'll edify you if you mark down stuff. But then you also mentioned that it helps you edify others. You look at back when they crossed the Jordan, Joshua crossed the Jordan, they put up a memorial in the center of it. So that when the kids ask, hey, what's that about? They can be like, oh, well, that's the time that God pulled through for us. That's the time that God let us pass by. Yep. If we mark down things, if we set up memorials in our life, then the next generation or even the friends and family that we have right now, you can be like, oh, well, this is a time that God did something great in my life. So,
yeah. And I've been reading the book of Genesis, and you look at Abram, anytime the Lord told him, you know, I'm going to give you this land or I'm going to give you that, he built an altar right there. So it's like a reminder. Okay. Like every time he looked at it, I was like, he's probably thinking, okay, you know, I built that altar there because the Lord promised me he's given me this land, you know, or my generations after me are going to have this land. So it's just, yeah, those little reminders, anything that you can do to build, even if it's like a mental altar in your mind, like maybe you're driving past something or there's somewhere in your house or something like that, where you're like, okay, I have to remember this moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah. Yeah, make building altars.
I used to put post-it notes all over the place and be like, okay, remember this as you wake up, stick it to the wall, you know?
Whatever works. Yeah. Whatever works.
So that's just an interesting thing that I was thinking of. Verse 100. I think that's where we are, right? Yeah, verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I have kept thy precepts. So even he's talking about, okay, you know, there's people older than you and me.
Yeah.
That don't know anything because they haven't studied scripture. And again, that's not because we're anything great, but it's because God is everything great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember where it is off the top of my head. It's in Ecclesiastes where, I can't remember exactly which chapter it was. But basically it talks about how like better, wish I had it off the top of my head, but it went along with what you're saying, because it talks about like better is a young man who is able to take instruction versus an old king who's not coachable or not listening to what people have to say anymore. So that kind of goes along with like what you're saying there, because he's like a young man who is able to understand, like, I don't know everything, and I need to seek after wisdom, that I need to seek after your face. And like an older man who's like, I put in my time, I already know everything. You know what I'm saying? I already know what I need to know. And just understanding, like you said earlier, like, we don't know everything. You know, you could read through the whole Bible, you know, year after year after year, and you're just scratching that surface because it is so deep and there's just such a level to it that we'll never understand in this fallen state. Like, we're never truly fully going to understand until we get to eternity, you know, with him.
And you mentioned the, it's in I think it's 1 Timothy, where it says, let no man despise thy youth. Yeah. But the next part is, but be an example. So people, you know, we're both young guys. I mean, I'm a little bit younger, but you're still a young guy.
Yeah, I'm an old man. I got four kids. I'm old man.
You're young. Okay. So, you know, as in, we need to be an example because not everybody understands. Not everybody, just because you're old doesn't mean you understand everything. So, and just because you're young doesn't mean you understand anything either. We need to work together and be like, okay, we're not much, but we can, you know, we can be an example to others that might not understand. And we do that through, we do that through keeping his precepts, through keeping his ways.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And if you look at like the disciples when they came to Jesus, because Jesus was constantly teaching to the people and talking to them in parables, right? And so the disciples came to him and they're like, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus is like, because they don't see like you guys can see. They can't hear like you guys are able to hear. So it's like when you are hearing the word and you're understanding it and then you like read it. And I equated it. I put a video on my Instagram the other day because, you know, by the time of morning that I wake up and go to work, I always see the sunrise. And so like, if you look at the sunrise, it's like, you know, you see it coming up and it's just how dark it is before the sunrise comes out. And as the sun comes up, you know, you see all the different colors, you know, the blue, the purple, the orange, all these beautiful colors. You're like, man, this is, it's just such a beautiful like display of His Majesty. But if you turn your head the opposite direction, it's completely yeah. pitch black dark. Right. And I feel like that's the same way it is like for us versus a believer. It's like we're staring at this beautiful sunrise that is God. I'm not saying right. that the sunrise yes. is God, but you know what I'm saying? Like we're staring at God, we're staring at what He can do, but then they're turned around because they love the darkness, like it says in the Word. Yeah. Like, and so it's like we're trying to explain to them, but it's hard for them to fully grasp it because they're so like enamored in the dark and all they can see is darkness around them. And we're like, dude, just turn around. You can see how beautiful this is. All you have to do is just turn around. And so it's just trying not to get discouraged, understanding like Jesus told His disciples, like they can't hear like you can hear. They can't see like you can see. That doesn't mean you're better than anybody else, but that just means that you have a relationship with Jesus that you have to be patient with others that don't have that relationship, because there's always been a point in time in your life where you've not been as far mm-hmm. in your walk. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like understanding that and then saying like, okay, I have to have like a level of patience in this moment because they can't see this beautiful sunrise like I'm
That's
seeing.
That's a beautiful
right now,
analogy, you know? First off. Second off, yeah, if there, we don't realize that once we were back there, and we don't realize that there's times where we were closer to God and maybe we backtracked. Like, we don't realize that, pardon, we don't realize that we're humans sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. us as Christians, we think, oh, we're up here, you know, everybody else is down here. No, we're humans, they're humans. We were just in where they were, and we needed God, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
God calls us to be His light. He wants His light to be shown through us. I heard it one time, it's like we're a mirror. God's shining His light on us, mm-hmm. and we're just projecting it to somewhere else and be like, hey, look at this light that has given me so much hope. So, and they're in the darkness.
Yeah. I heard a great analogy the other day where they said that, like, I forget who it was. Oh, it was Sadie Huff. Sadie Huff. She was speaking at Passion. And she was saying that they were in this, like, big dome. And, you know, Sadie Huff, the Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
She's, yeah, Duck Dynasty girl. I think she's one of their daughters or something. And so anyway, she told everybody, she told everybody to turn the lights off. So they turned the lights off and it was dark in there. And she said, okay, everybody turn on your light on your phone. So everybody turned on their light. And, you know, you could see how beautiful it was. Everybody was shining their light. And she said, okay, everybody on the count of three, switch over to take a selfie. Right. And so as soon as she counted three, everybody switched over to selfie mode mm-hmm. and all the lights went off. Right. And so she's like, because you're looking at yourself, you can't shine your light. And you take that step further. Like when we're being selfish and just looking at ourselves, we can't shine the light. Like you're saying, like, that Jesus has called us to do, shine the light on others. When we're so busy and we're so fixated on ourselves, we can't be shining that light because all we're focused on right. is ourselves.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's what He's saying here too, is that He,
yeah.
and it, we have to remember, there wasn't verses breaking this up when He wrote it. So it wasn't like, okay, I wrote mm-hmm. verse 97. Okay, I'm going to go to bed, wake up in the morning, and I write something else. No, He wrote it all. And it's because He loves thy law. Oh, how I love thy law in verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. Then you can mm-hmm. jump down to verse 100 and says, I understand more than the ancients because yeah. I kept thy precepts. It all goes back to God. He's not being prideful. It all goes back to God. And He's saying, again, He's being honest with Himself.
Exactly.
He's being honest with everyone around and being like, okay, I understand more than them, but not because I'm anything great.
Because
you are.
Yeah. That's yeah. right. That's good.
So we'll keep reading. In verse 101, it says, I have refrained my feet from the evil way. Okay, this is powerful. I've refrained my feet from the evil way that I might keep thy word. Take it away.
Yeah, it's just, I think it goes back to that love factor. Like if you're loving God and you're trying to follow Him every step of your way, like it says in Proverbs 3:5, like, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So like if He's directing your path, you're not going to stray mm-hmm. into evil, right? Because you're focused on Him. And I look at it almost as the passage, I think it's from Matthew 14 or 15, where Jesus comes walking across the water. And Peter's like, if it's you, call me out on the water with you. And Jesus just like, come. And so he starts walking out there and he's focused on him, right? He's focused on, like, you could take that to this if you apply it here. Like, he's focused on his precepts. Like, he's focused on the law. And then he gets distracted by, you know, like it says here, keeping me from every evil way. Like, he gets distracted by the waves. He gets distracted by the storm. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He starts to drown right away. And that's the same way for us. Like, the second that we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're just immediately going to drown. We're going to immediately go on this evil way, like it says here in the word. But it's just like, if we're striving after him and keeping his way, like, he can do the proverbial walking on the waters with you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, you're right. And you can't walk towards God and towards something else at the same time. You know, it'd be foolish to think that if somebody's over here calling me and somebody's over here calling me, it'd be foolish to think that I can go to both places. You can't.
We learned that on Cat Dog.
Yeah, exactly, Cat Dog.
Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, they can't go two separate... Cat Dog understands.
No. Yeah, they tried the other day. We actually, I found, because that was big for me growing up, Cat Dog. And I was at Walmart the other day getting medicine for the kids, and they had the whole complete series for like $10. And I was like, well, I got to jump on this. So I got it. And then I was watching it with my four-year-old. And so now he's all the time like, can we watch Cat and Dog? That's what he calls it, Cat and Dog.
That's awesome. No, so. That show, I watched a lot of PBS shows when I was like, Martha Speaks, all of those shows. But
Clifford the Big Red Dog and all that.
But yeah, you're right. Exactly like Cat and Dog. You can't go two different places. You can't. And if God's calling you this way, you have a choice to make. And if you're, and like I say all the time, walking, when you think about walking simplified, it's one step, then the next step, then the next step. You need to be conscious in everything that we talk about, in everything that we do, in everything that we think about, everything we say. We need to be conscious that that is a step towards something. It's a step towards something. Now, is that a step towards God or is it a step towards darkness? We just need to be self-evaluating that. And he says here... He blah, 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 blah. If I can read, he's refrained his feet from the evil way. That is to say that it's a conscious choice that he's not going to let his feet go that way. He's not going to let him, you know, type in something on his phone that he knows something bad's going to come up. He's not going to play a song that he knows has, you know, inappropriate things or explicit language because he's refraining it. Not to say that he doesn't struggle with it, but he's saying, no, you cannot do this. What do you call it? That's like, what's the word that I'm trying to think of? Self-control. That's what I'm trying to think of. That's showing that there's self-control. Yeah. And a lot of times we think that we can't control our bodies when we can. We can control what we think. We can control what we say. But sometimes we're like, oh, well, you know what? We'll just be humans. It's okay. It's a normal human thing to do this. It's not okay. We need to be conscious, and we need to take steps towards God and refrain our feet from evil. So, I don't know.
Yeah, like the word says, I think it's in Ephesians where it says, like, we should abstain from all appearances of evil. Yeah. So just making that conscious decision and understanding, too, like, God did come pay the ultimate price for us. But ultimately, it is our choice. So like he gives us that choice. We have that free will to do what we please. And then I think that goes back to being like self-aware and understanding the things that you struggle with and how he says, like my version says, I hold back my feet. So it's like that refraining, like that keeping your, you know, just keep guarding your heart, guarding your mind, not letting yourself slip into something that you know can lead to something else.
Cause that's the way to God. You know, it's if we, and the one thing I love is that God says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. That is to say that if we take a step, God takes a step. He's coming closer to us. Right. He's not making us go the full way. If he draws nigh to us and we draw nigh to him, he's meeting us. But he's saying, hey, I'm not going to draw nigh to you if you're going to, he's not going to chase us. Yep.
You got to work too. Yeah. Yeah. I just talked about that in my podcast, how it's like Noah, God gave him the vision. Mm-hmm. God told him what to do. But it was like both of them working together because once he built the ark, got the animals in there, God gave him the vision. So first of all, God told him what to do. He built the ark and then God shut the door. And then I think it's in, I can't remember what chapter, I believe it's in like 16 or something like that in Genesis where after he shut the door, it says something like after 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had built from the ark. So it's like, I think it's very interesting that wording, like it says, like that he had built, like they didn't have to put that in there. Moses didn't have to put that in there other than just the fact that like Noah was doing a work, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying, in and of itself. So it's just understanding that we have a work to do through the process. It's just not all on God. Like it's 100% God, 100% us. We're working in step with the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is that he has,
And
you know,
if
called you
Mo
to do.
and if not Moses, if Noah wasn't going to do what God asked, then God would have never trusted him. But he knew that Noah was a faithful servant, that he was going to fulfill what God said for him to do. So, yeah, I love that. Any closing thoughts on that verse, or are you ready to move on? Okay.
No, I'm good.
I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. What do you think about that?
As a parent, I take it to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they do not depart from it. Because ultimately, understanding that free will aspect too is like, as a parent, I understand that I'm trying to do everything that I can while my kids are young to train them up the right way. But when they get to that certain age, like ultimately, it's up to, for them to choose what they want to do. And then I just have to trust that the work that me and my wife have put in trying to raise them up the right way, that they won't stray away from it. So that's kind of like the same thing he's saying here. It's like, I'm not going to turn away from it because you've taught me the right way. Like you've taught me the way to live that's going to be the most beneficial to me and going to be the most, you know, satisfying, and I'm going to get the most out of life if I'm following your rules, you
Yeah.
know?
I have nothing to add to that. Like that's perfect. No, if we can realize, and if let's think about it this way too. If he would be listening to all the teachers that he talked about in verse 99, then he could depart from God's ways. But he chose who his teacher was. He chose that, you know, I'm not gonna trust these guys because they aren't doing the right thing, but I'm gonna trust you because you've taught. And then he lets God teach him, and now he's not gonna depart from his ways because he knows right from wrong. No, that's perfect. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love how much this psalmist loves God's word. I have an entire episode, I can't remember what part it is, but it's just 8 verses of him saying how his soul longs for God's word. And when your soul longs for something, oftentimes we think that, oh no, you shouldn't give it that, because it's you know, when we think about longing for something, we think about maybe gluttony. We think about food, like you want it so bad. How often do we actually use that in the right way, where our soul needs God's word? We crave it. When we miss a day in our Bible study, we hate that we did that. And we're craving that relationship. And when we don't pray, we're begging God and we're saying sorry, because I do love you. And because he's so intimate, and because he's so intimate, because he loves God's word so much, he loves the way it tastes. Oftentimes people think that Christianity, you know, it's a bad taste. It's not. God's words are sweeter than honey. God's words are going to set you free if you let it. And the psalmist loves God's word. And it's something in my life that I know that I want to keep continuing to learn to love God's word more and more, because just to think about, well, you and your wife, you know, there's something that just draws you to her and her to you, right? That when you're not together, when you're not, you know, what do you call it? When you're not having that good communication, you long for it. Am I right? You want to get to know her more. You want to serve her, like you said earlier in verse 97. If we love God's word, we need to realize, okay, God's word is something to long after. God's word is sweet. God's word is going to fulfill us. And we need to have that longing for God's word like the psalmist has. And if we did, then we'd be so much better. And the only way to get it, the only way is to meditate on it, is to realize, you know, God's word is everything. And we need to understand who God is. And when we understand who God is, and that his words can help us through every single thing in our life, it's easy to long after him. And you'll miss it when you and you'll miss him when you miss out on hearing from him that day.
That's right. And I think going back to meditation, like when you think about tasting something sweet, like you can kind of you think about it later on. You're like, oh man, that tasted good. Like you can think back to that taste of like how it's describing like sweet as honey to my mouth. So it's like I think you can kind of take that along with the meditation aspect where it's like you can think back on it and it's a good taste in your mouth. It's something that you enjoyed. It's something that you want more of, like what you were saying earlier. Because like if you think of something bitter and you think back on it, you're like, crap, I don't want to have to deal with that again. But he's equating it to like it's something that I want more of. You know, kind of just piggybacking off of a
No,
little bit of what
yeah,
you
you're
said.
right. And I don't know, have you ever had like a pastry or something that you loved, like you loved it so much that you didn't scarf it down?
All
Like
the time.
I just ate
Oh yeah, well.
I just ate a Whopper, yeah, like before we got on here, and I scarfed it
Yeah.
down because you know it's just food. It's you're normal. You get
Yeah.
callous to it. But something that tastes so good. We have a coffee shop uptown, and one time I was on a date and we, man, I loved the food there, like it was amazing, and I didn't eat it fast because I wanted it to last. Because if I eat it fast, then I'd be like,
Yeah.
oh man, well now I want more of it. When you just, like you said, meditating, you just chew on it a little bit, just keep thinking about it. And you know, I was watching a movie the other day, and it was about a chef, and he said, whatever you do, don't eat it. He put out this, he said, whatever you do, don't eat it, but think about every individual taste. You know, don't scarf it down, but just chew on it, swallow it. You know, enjoy what is in front of you, because if you don't enjoy what's in front of you, then you're gonna miss out on it and you're gonna not appreciate it like you should.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Well,
That's
we're on
good.
our last verse, so let's see, verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, this word, I hate every false way. Well, I'll let you start off on this one. What do you think?
I think it's very interesting how it's the beginning, he's talking about how much he loves his law, and then he closes by saying, "I hate every false way." So, like when you align your mindset with God and when you're trying to walk with Him, you're going to love the thing that He loves. You're going to hate the things that He hates. And so he's just kind of reiterating that fact that it's like closer that we get to God, the less that we're going to strive after anything that's not God. Right, because God is truth, God is love. We're going to strive after that, and we're not going to fade. You're not going to try to seek the counterfeit, right? Because we know what's real, we know the real deal. Why would we try to chase after anything else? Like, we hate it, we despise it, we don't want to have anything to do with it.
I think that's perfect. And I think that just as Americans throw around the word love way too much, I think we throw around the word hate too much. These are two very intimate words. They're very, you
Yeah.
know, they're deep in their meaning. And sometimes we just say, oh, I hate that. When really, what does hate mean? That means to loathe it, to
Yeah.
absolutely abhor it. And as Christians, do we hate every false way? Like, if we think about how deep that is to say that when somebody, you know, when somebody swears at your work, do you hate it? When somebody bullies somebody else, do you hate it? When you hear somebody talking about, you know, inappropriate things, do you hate it? Like, if we're the closer we get to God, like you were talking about the sunrise, the closer we get to the sunrise, the further we get away from the darkness. And you'll hate the darkness. The closer you get to the light, you'll hate the darkness. And if we but the further we stray away from the light, the more we get callous to the darkness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a verse in Revelations where it talks about there's gonna come a time when God, basically the Father of all wrath, because you think about God is the creator, like He created everything. So obviously, like if He's the creator, He's the best at creativity. If He created love, He's the best at loving. But you flip that on its backside, like if He created wrath, He knows exactly how to use wrath. He knows exactly how to, you know what I'm saying? Because He created it. And there's going to come a time when, just like that sunrise, yeah, there's darkness across from it, but once certain time comes and that sun keeps rising, everyone's going to be able to see the light. Everyone's going to be able to see the sun. And you look in Revelations where it talks about there's going to become a time when people are running from the hills, fleeing from the wrath to come. And so it's like just understanding that, yes, God is all loving and he does give you opportunities. But soon enough, the sun is going to be risen completely and it's going to there's going to be no escaping the light. And so it's like, oh, gosh, you know, like I want to make sure that I am living the right way right now. Because it's like you don't want to come to that time and you're like, oh, gosh, I wish I would have done more, or I wish I would have, you know, whatever it is. You know, we all have something that we wish we would have done or would not have done, you know, but it's just trying to make sure that we could do everything for him right now to align our ways
and
with his
ways. And the closer we get to the light, the more apparent our imperfections are. So if we get closer to God now and we get closer to that light, like as I get closer to this light, you can see more imperfections. And you'll be able to take care of that. But on the flip side, if you wait till the end of your life and, you know, like you said, the sun is completely up, the sun is completely risen, you can't do anything about those imperfections. You can't do anything. You can't get rid of them anymore. You can't get rid of that sin that you've been hiding for, you know, however many years or however many months. That's, you made that choice to not get closer to the light, to not read God's word. And the closer you get to the light, the more you can see. So you have a choice. You can get closer to the light now and take care of it, or you can get closer to the light when he comes back and takes us up to heaven and we're going to be put to shame because of all the things that were in our life. So that's the closing. You have any closing thoughts, sir, about this?
No, I do love what you're doing as far as breaking this stuff down, because I think a lot of times as Christians, or just as somebody trying to study the Bible, people can get overwhelmed saying, well, I got to read a chapter a day, or I got to read X amount of verses a day. But it's like when we get into that mindset, it becomes more of like, I'm just doing this to check off a box and not actually trying to do it to dig into the word to actually get something out of it. So I love how you're breaking things down into smaller portions. And I would just like recommend that to anybody out there that's like having trouble reading their Bible or whatever. Don't feel like you need to read however many chapters a day. Don't feel like, well, I got to read my whole Bible in a year. Like last year, I read the whole year. It took me the whole year, and I just read the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? But I just read it slowly. There was times where I would read like five verses and stop on that fifth verse because I'm like, okay, something's speaking to me in this moment. Like, Lord, reveal it to me. And then just reading it over and over again. I spent a week in 1 Peter chapter 5, just the whole week reading it every single day. And I'm like, okay, and I was getting something new out of it every single day. So I love what you're doing in terms of like breaking it down into smaller portions and actually being, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like in, I know I keep saying intentional, but like just trying to pull something out of it, not just trying to check off the box.
I assume that when you took that week, you got way more out of it than you would have if you just read it through one night.
Yeah. And that was the thing too, because I was on, I don't remember if I had somebody on my podcast or I was on theirs, but something came up in the conversation and it related to what I had been reading in the scripture. So I was able just to pull out, like we were talking about earlier, when in times you could pull out certain scriptures because you've hidden God's word in your heart. So because I had been dwelling on this specific passage all week long, when it got to that point, I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus. This is what all this was for.
And you another know, thing yeah, I want to so point cool. out, guys, if you're, if you do stuff, don't just read through the Bible and just read through it. Have conversations. I have people in my life that every day I try to have a conversation about what I've read. Like, me and you, we've been talking for over an hour, and we only read 8 verses. Like, and we've gotten a lot out of this. I've gotten a lot out of this talking to you. There's so much in God's Word. Don't like he said, you don't have to read the entire Bible in a year. You know, I have done that, and it has helped me. And I assume, because it does.
Sure.
No.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but just not doing it so you can say, okay, I read the whole Bible. You know, if you're getting something out of it, then good. Then if you can read a whole chapter and get something out of it, and it's refreshing.
If you read it through in chronological order, you'll be able to see how it flows. Like, you know, you'll be able to see how 1 Kings and, you know, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles tie in together. Like, you'll be able to see how the flow is.
Yeah.
But if you're not getting anything out of it, what's the point, like you're saying? And then talk to people about it.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we love, we talk to people about. I love movies. I have an entire, like, shelf of movies over there that I love talking about. Yeah. I love film. People know I love film because it's something that I think about. Same thing with the Bible. Exactly.
I'm passionate about
the Bible, and people know that because that's what I talk about. And whatever you talk about the most, that's what you're most passionate about. So let's take this and actually get passionate about it. You know? And the more we read about the thing that you do the most likely you're going to be more passionate about it than the other things. So let's get into our Bible. Let's talk about it with other people. Let's be an example to the believers, no matter what age, old or young. Let's just get together, Christians, and let's do something amazing for God this year. You're still new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's in John where it says, like, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're filling your heart with things of the Lord, if you're filling your heart with, you know, scripture and things of that nature and these positive things, or even music and media, whatever you take in, it's just going to come out naturally because it's what you are, like he says in the word, like what he's meditating.
I barely ever have to, you know, intentionally start a conversation about the Bible. Like, honestly, because it comes naturally. It used to terrify me. But now it's just like, it just happens, you know? And it's important to have that love for the Bible. And I don't love it. We were talking about that earlier. I don't love it the way that I think I should. I think I need to get into it more. And because we all have areas to grow in that, or room to grow in that area. But, man, if you can just love God's word to the point where when you miss a day, like we said earlier, that, you know, you feel empty, like you need to get back with God, that is not a bad thing. That is a good thing. If you miss a day and you feel guilty about it, or not guilty, but like you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I want to get back to God. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That shows that you're doing what God wants you to do. So.
Yeah. And it all goes back to that relational aspect, because I think that's one thing that gets lost in all of this too. If you look at the disciples when they went to Jesus, they didn't say, can you teach us how to preach? Can you teach us how to heal people? Yeah. They said, teach us how to pray. And he started out with our Father. So it's like that relational aspect, understanding that it's a relationship. And like for me, going back to the relationship with my wife, if I say that I love my wife, but then I don't talk to her all day long, there's going to be something missing there. And if I don't talk to her for 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, after a couple of days, well, with my wife, it'd be a couple minutes. But with some people, you know, a couple of days goes by and you don't talk, you know, don't talk to your spouse, or you don't talk to your best friend or whatever, then you're going to automatically say to one another, like, what's going on? What's up? You know, something's not right here. And so that's the same way it is with the Lord. Like when you are seeking that relational aspect, you're going to try to go after the word because you're like, I got to speak to the Father today. Like Jesus all the time, you would see him go, and it says in Mark 1:35 that he would go wake up earlier than everyone else. Yeah. He would go when it's still dark outside to talk to the Father. So it's just understanding that we have to make that a priority in our life to first thing that we do say, okay, Lord, today I'm going to like submit this day to you. Yeah. Like where are we going from here?
Yeah. I think that's a good note to end it on, because I think like you said, the love and the hate is a perfect bookend to where, okay, that all comes by the relationship with God. And like when I was talking to Antoine last week, we talked about abiding, you know, just that word abide. There's so much in that word abide. And if we can get that understanding that we need to abide with God first, we need to say, God, today is your day. I'm just the tool. You use me the way you want to use. We can start every day doing that. Then we'll find what God wants us to do throughout the day, because we are being a willing servant to him. So, yeah. Do you have any other thing you'd like to add to that?
I think I'm good. Yeah. Shout out to Antoine too. He's somebody that if you could just go off of one word with him for like an hour, and it's just like, dang. Yeah. He's a smart dude. And he got somebody on American Idol on his show on Studio 124.
Really?
He had some dude on there. Yeah, that came out today.
I haven't listened to any of the podcasts. Shout out to Antoine. I'm going to listen to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dope. Yeah, he's making big moves. I think the Lord's really going to do a lot with him. And, you know, I just try to do whatever I can to, like, encourage him along the way. Because, like, and that's what I tell him all the time. Like, people can see the type of influence that you have around you. But the enemy doesn't want you to see it. You know what I'm saying? So like, if once you unlock that, he knows that there's going to be trouble, and he does to, you know what I'm saying, to a certain extent. I'm not trying to take, you know, anything away from him, but it's just like sometimes other people can see like your potential a little bit more than you can see yourself, because the enemy does play these tricks on you. But I think he's going to be used mightily for the Lord. No, he already has.
He's a great guy. I'm planning on in February to have him on my show. I haven't had him on yet. Yep, that is true.
You're going to be
on
mine in February.
So it's coming.
Yeah, not this Thursday, but next, right?
Speaking of not this Thursday, I'm not going to have an episode out next Friday, guys, because I am going to winter camp. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully, you want to hear something kind of dumb we're planning on doing? We're planning on going down the snow hill in our swim trunks, me and a couple of my buddies. So,
oh my gosh.
Wish me luck. All right. I'll let you guys know how it goes next time.
If y'all never hear from Ben again.
Yeah, it's a big hill too. Like, it's big. But yeah, so I'm going to be doing that this next weekend. So
that'll be fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. Great guy, guys. If you haven't,
if you haven't gone and
looked at his show yet, what are you guys doing? Like, go over there. He's a great guy. He's awesome to listen to. So, I think today episode 50 posted, right? So y'all have some homework to do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay. Episode 50. Yeah, it's crazy. And one thing that's cool too is my show started February 13th, and this year February 13th will be on a Monday. So
that is really cool.
Yeah, so my 1 year I'll be able to post episode on that's very cool.
So yeah, well, first off, congratulations on the 50 episodes. That's a big mile mark. So
thank you.
Yeah.
You got more than
I've been doing it for a little bit longer too though. So
yeah.
Well, it is fun. Yeah, I love it. I love meeting new people. So
yeah.
Okay, is going to be far from the last time we talk, brother. But thank you so much. Guys, go follow him. We talked about it last time, but where can people follow you on social media or talk to you?
Just Call to Act. It's all one word. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Call to Act podcast. It's all one word. You can find me there. I'm most active on my Instagram, but I'll check the Facebook and the TikTok and all that.
Yep.
At some point too, but yeah, it's all
okay. Email any email podcast. They can get a hold of you.
Yeah, email donovanljones1994@gmail.com, and that's Donovan DONOVAN Don Ovan gotcha. L Jones. A lot of people have problems
maybe too many
spelling
O's
my name,
is
so
what
it's
just Don Ovan.
Yeah. I get it all kinds of ways. I get I's and E's, and yeah, I had one time I went to this was like when I was in high school. A couple girls in my youth group asked me what my name was because we were new to the church, and I said Donovan, and the one girl said Dolphin, and I was like, "What? It's fine, whatever. You call me whatever. I really don't care."
Dolphin Jones. That sounds like an awesome football player.
Dolphin. Yep.
Yeah,
or a wrestler or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, but I appreciate you having me on, man.
All right, guys. I will see you not next Friday, but the Friday after that.
And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.